following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now, when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
Dr. Pepper's changing lives again with a one-of-a-kind opportunity, the Dr. Pepper Tuition Giveaway. So go to drpepper.com and tell us why you could use some of that tuition. Like Yvonne Padilla Rodriguez. A year ago, she was struggling to pay her tuition. Now she's got $100,000 from Dr. Pepper to help her realize her dreams. What do you want to change in the world? Go to drpepper.com and upload your video. No purchase necessary. You could win up to $100,000 in tuition. So if you want to make a difference, grab an ice-cold Dr. Pepper and head to drpepper.com. Dr. Pepper, oh.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug is right around the corner. I am Spencer Schubert. We have plenty to get to in this show as we see Mr. Duda hustle into the studios. He is in the house.
You ever had one of those days?
I've had one of those days. But you know what?
Those days for like 12 days in a row.
But to start the show, it felt powerful to say, welcome in to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug is here now.
I was just hanging out in the bathroom. So
I'll be quiet.
See how you did.
Yeah, I went a little longer.
What did you think?
It was good. I felt powerful.
First 20 seconds of the show was solid.
It was. Now, it's downhill now.
How was Halloween?
It was all right. I actually stayed in, believe it or not, the night before Halloween. That was a night I should have stayed in.
Well, there you go. We'll talk about that off the air. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the program, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's the email address. Coming up on the show today, Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook, Gino Bukula from the TVG Network to talk Breeders' Cup, and Luke Hoover is in to answer all of your fantasy football questions as we continue on. Action tonight, Thursday night. I got a question for him about tonight's game. It's Kansas City and San Diego. I guess that's why you pay attention to games like that, because of fantasy football. But that's all coming up. Email or Facebook is your questions. And, of course, state football playoffs, some exciting games. And you know what? I'd have to say a few more upsets than I'm used to seeing at this round.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of games that just kind of surprise you. I mean, the first round was laden with them. I mean, you have a York team go beat Scotts Bluff. Omaha Central comes in and beats Kearney. And the second round, really not disappointing once again as we head into the C&D action that you've obviously seen. Friday, we'll get back to the A and B. But playoffs right now where a lot of the traditional teams that you expect aren't winning. Kearney Catholic really made a statement, I thought, though, last night against a Broken Bow team that had a fight with Gibbon in the first round. They come out to Kearney Catholic, a Kearney Catholic team that struggled with Central City for the most part in the first round. That was an interesting matchup to me, but Kearney Catholic just laid the hammer and kind of showed what they were all about in this playoff.
Yeah, it brings to a close the season for Broken Bow, and what a great year that they have had. Elm Creek, we're going to get a chance to talk with Jace, the head coach at Elm Creek, Jay Dooley. Sutherland going to join us here in just a little bit as well, getting some confirmation on that. They had one of the upsets yesterday, knocking off the top seed in the West in D1 in Burwell, 42-40.
Yeah, big win for Elm Creek, obviously, to knock off the top West seed. Any team that can pull that off, it's a huge accomplishment. Good win for Elm Creek.
Another argument that comes into play here with the 16 versus the 32 is you would not have these matchups. And we talked about this last week. You get an Elm Creek, they would have played maybe Burwell in the first round, or Ponca, they're a 14, they're still alive. You look at Bertrand, maybe they wouldn't have got even a shot to play Kennesaw last night. Look at some Donovan Trumbull. They probably don't get a shot at Crofton. Those are just some of the upsets last night.
And, I mean, you look at this. I've talked to several coaches, and I won't say who those are, but some of them think there's too many teams in these high school football playoffs. In Class A and B, you only have 16 for obvious reasons. But you look at what you have here in C1, C2, D1, and D2, and you have those 16-team brackets, East and West. You have a total of 32 teams. York's not playing football right now, even in Class B, if you think about it, a 16 seed. So you got to let those 16 seeds in. You don't need that 8-9 seed being the lowest seed because you have wins like this. You have York beating Scottsbluff. You have these marquee wins, these upset chances, and I think this year especially is showing that this is a possibility. So I think that the playoff formula is working. Some coaches might be upset, but some other coaches are ecstatic that their teams are playing in the second round after knocking off somebody they shouldn't.
You know, you hate to be that team that gets upset. We know that from Kearney High last week. But to take it one step further, if you are going to knock the 16, if you're going to knock it to 16 in C and D, then you got to go to 8 in A and B. It's all percentages.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why A and B are what they are. If they did 32 teams, I mean, how many teams are in Class A? 32?
30.
So, I mean, that'd be every team. The regular season would be a wash if they did that in Class A. So you're exactly right. They would have to change the A and B playoff formats to the 8 and 9 teams. And
they wouldn't.
What is that? Three games?
they won't, Spencer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of my point there.
Exactly.
So let's take a look at some of the matchups in case you haven't heard about them. Times have been set. All of these C&D quarters are on Tuesday. In C1, Kearney Catholic will be at Adams Central, 7 o'clock kickoff. Boone Central plays Gothenburg. Norfolk Catholic takes on Fort Calhoun, and Pierce plays Wahoo. In C2, Hershey will be at Sutton at 5. Donovan Trumbull will host North Platte St. Pat's at 6. Aquinas plays Fremont Bergen, and Ponca will take on Lutheran High Northeast. In D1, Arapahoe will host Elm Creek at 6:30. Loup City will travel to Elgin at 7 o'clock. Bruning Davenport Shickley will play Howells Dodge at 6, and Exeter Milligan plays High Plains. And in D2, Giltner will host Medicine Valley at 3 in the afternoon. Shelton will be at Bertrand at 6. Lindsay Holy Family plays Fall City Sacred Heart, and Humphrey St. Francis takes on Sterling. So the quarterfinals Tuesday, AB and six-man, they play again tomorrow. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776.
The two matchups I love out of what you just read. One, the matchup we kind of knew would just be bittersweet when it showed up, Kearney Catholic Adams Central. I think everybody's going to be looking to that game and just wondering how that's going to break down. You know, Jake Fowler, Abe Clinch, throw in all the names and just see how that matchup's going to break down. Also, one to keep an eye on is Shelton Bertrand. Bertrand went out and just housed Kennesaw last night. That was a great win for Bertrand to hang 80-plus points on this team. Now you got Shelton. The schedule's not getting easier for Bertrand. Shelton's a team that I believe, if I remember right, they did lose to Kennesaw. Is that right? But Shelton's a team that is just kind of that Kennesaw breed where, sure, they lost a game, but they could beat anybody on their schedule on any given night. So I think that's going to be the second most interesting. But obviously you have to go with Kearney Catholic Adams Central out of that slate.
Yeah, there are some good, good games out there. I'm looking, again, I talked about it from the first time I saw him this year. I keep an eye on Donovan Trumbull and got a big win yesterday and hopefully helped me out in the Hastings Troop contest as well. Congratulations to Coach Breckner and the crew. Donovan Trumbull's a team that hasn't made that deep run or even Donovan since they've come together. So congratulations there. And Elm Creek, you know, first-year coach at Elm Creek, and look what they've done. Some great stories out there. As we said, it's kind of a year of the changing of the guard, and that is evident here a little bit in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you look at teams like Arapahoe that are powers this year. And, I mean, Kennesaw, they're still going to be a good team. Coach Stitchler's going to have that team ready to go next year. And Bertrand's just a team that you always expect to make that deep run in the playoffs, like they're doing yet again. But another tough test with Shelton. Shelton, another great story in itself. Just the 2 years in a row, so to speak, in the playoffs. I think last year was the first time they were in the playoffs since 1993, I think they were telling me, something like that. So Shelton to get 2 years in a row in the playoffs definitely has that town on a fever pitch. So, like you said, changing of the guard, Shelton's good in football now. Everybody book that in. It's fun. It's fun to see these teams come up.
I just want to know if Loop City fans are back yet from Hemingford. Good Lord. Trent in Blue Hill says, I would just like to congratulate the Blue Hill program on another great season. Mm-hmm. I'm especially proud of the seniors, the way they showed leadership and great heart through a tragedy that of indescribable magnitude, losing a classmate in the second week of the season and not folding but playing as men. I, too, lost a classmate in the wreck, and obviously the town was at a loss. But this team really brought everyone together, and I thank them for that. I would also like to thank all of the surrounding communities for everything they did for the town of Blue Hill, especially Hastings St. Cecilia, who provided a free meal for all the Blue Hill fans when we played each other. A class act just goes to show you why Nebraska is such a great place to live. Again, thank you very much. You guys do a great job of covering high school sports. Keep doing your thing. Trent, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And I guess somewhat fitting that Blue Hill and Broken Bow both had their season come to an end at the same time last night.
It really was, and two towns obviously hit by tragedy of the same variety, and whenever something like that happens, you know the rest of the season, the rest of the year, no matter what the sport is, everybody's playing with heavy hearts. I've been to a couple Blue Hill football games this year, and they were probably two of the most passionate, most emotional games I've actually been to. Normally, us TV guys don't get caught up in the aura of high school football, but I was at the Blue Hill Hastings St. Cecilia game when they ran back that kickoff return for a touchdown with about 40 seconds left against St. Cecilia to knock off the Blue Hawks at home. That was an emotional win to be in the fray of that Blue Hill sideline as they almost tackled me. And then I was even at the first round playoff win over Kimball, and the community comes out for this football team. Blue Hill, congrats on a great season, a team that a lot of people didn't know how it would go. And to get to the second round of the playoffs, a tough loss, obviously, but a team that definitely performed very well, beat a great Hastings St. Cecilia team who also bowed out here in the second round, but a team that you just have to be impressed with, and a great story for them.
Eric from Loop City says, yes, we have made it back.
Thank you, Eric. Good to hear. Good
hey,
to hear.
We're going to take an early break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, I want to let you know that as you get ready for the weekend, no matter what it is, and if you're like me, I would just like to relax. I don't even necessarily have to turn anything on television-wise or radio-wise or paper-wise. I can just use a little extra sleep. And how about a Serta mattress from Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, where they've been taking care of you, the customer, since 1977. That's 34 years of taking care of you. They want you to make sure whatever you get is the right color, right size, style, price. They're not your neighbor. They're not your coworker. They want to make sure it's right for you. And that's what they live by every day at Bruce Furniture. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Bruce Furniture maintaining that small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. But as they continue to grow, they are able to compete with the big chains in quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the low price. At Bruce Furniture, where it's not about them, it's about you. We'll be back. Talk some Elm Creek football. Talk with John Cook, volleyball coach at Nebraska. And a whole lot more, Breeders' Cup, fantasy football, it's all coming up in this hour on the Doug and Daddy Show.
10 artists, 10 murals, one winner. Jose Cuervo Traditional Tequila presents the Traditional Mural Project, a competition that gives Latino artists the opportunity to create an original mural inspired by the influence of Latino culture in America. Follow the competition and vote for your favorite mural at facebook.com/losamigosdejose. Jose Cuervo Traditional, supporting our Hispanic heritage this month and always. Jose Cuervo invites you to live responsibly. Tequila Jose Cuervo Traditional, 40% alcohol by volume, imported by Hubling, Norwalk, Connecticut, under license from the trademark owner.
Now available. The brand new ESPN Radio app presented by Lowe's. Not only can you listen live to your favorite ESPN radio shows from over 30 stations across the country, you can customize your own station with the best interviews and analysis of your favorite sports teams and players. Plus, if your show already started, you can rewind for up to an hour. The all-new ESPN Radio app. It's sports for your ears.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jerseys in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Pickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Thursday night, it's a battle of AFC West rivals as the San Diego Chargers host the Kansas City Chiefs. Hi, this is Ian Eagle of Dial Global Radio Sports. Join Trent Green and me for all the action from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth. In the team's first meeting in September, the Chargers capitalized on six Chiefs turnovers in a 37-20 San Diego victory. Who will come out on top this time? Tune in to find out. If it's Thursday night football, it's right here.
Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature in the mid-60s as winds out of the north to northeast develop around 5 to 10. Tonight, skies will remain mostly clear with a low near 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert with you on this Thursday program, the first day of November. Does it automatically become depressing right now? I mean, it's cool in the world of sports, but we're done with the World Series. Here locally, we've got district and state volleyball the next 10 days, state football getting to the really, really good stuff now, and the Huskers are still in it.
Yeah. Yeah, in November when the Huskers are in it, the state's still alive. So in Nebraska, things are okay for now. Plus, you didn't throw out the most important thing. No Shave November. A lot of people participate in this. I don't know if I want to see Doug Duda participate.
What does that mean?
No Shave November? You've never heard of it?
I went 4 days and I look like
Chewbacca.
See, there you go. I look like James Harden. I look like James Harden. Yeah, and it's painful after that.
Yeah, No Shave November. A lot of my friends, I can't, obviously, with the whole TV contract, I'd be fired. But no, a lot of people shave
That's
on Halloween.
Stuff.
Late night Halloween night.
People don't
people
realize this.
I don't shave again until December.
This is like hockey weirdos. This is not a shot, but I found it hard to believe. I mean, obviously on TV, they want you to have a good appearance. I get all that. They don't want you.
Which is surprising they hired me in the first place.
Well, but there are some weird requirements out there. Hair has to be cut a certain way, shave this way, pluck your eyebrows, bathe.
We all have to have the Seth Denny haircut. That's just status quo out there at this point. So,
Seth Denny, I got to sit behind him about four rows on Tuesday night. Oh, quite the honor it was as he was watching his daughter play for the Minden Whippets.
Yeah, you just feel the aura when Seth Denny is in the arena. He's there. You know he's there.
It was a packed house. Here's the deal. I mean, this was a great crowd. Minden traveled well, and then you had Kearney Catholic and St. Paul. They traveled well. Gibbon was there for the first game as well. So it was very warm in the Wood River Gym because we had such a good crowd in there. But even with that many people there, one person stood out. Of course, he wasn't wearing purple because he wanted to stand out. But, you know, all 5'3" of Seth Denny, everybody could see the guy.
Exactly. Loudest clap. Loudest cheer. He's the man. He's probably listening, and we're going to get a text soon.
You know what? That's one of those things, though. How many times can he be vocal? How many times can we be vocal? It's weird when you go to a game and you don't have to work it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Seth has the advantage now. His sports days are far behind him. He helps us out every now and then, but he can cheer a little bit. Everybody knows he's from Minden, and he's kind of the whip-it guy now. But it's funny. Sports Extra still comes around. We still get a phone call every time. Bison win. Anytime McCook wins, we get a call. Tell Seth Bison wins.
How were those first 2 weeks this year? How many calls did you get?
Yeah, we didn't get many. But hey, they won a couple since.
We're getting calls. They're getting calls. The parade just ended in Elm Creek after the big win last night. Jace Doolin, first-year football coach at Elm Creek, makes his debut here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jace, it's great to finally catch up with you, and I'm sorry we waited this long to do that. Congratulations on the big win last night.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be on.
Well, the excitement level has to be high. This is a football team that nobody was really talking about. We knew how good you guys were, and as usual, the Fort Kearney Conference and Elm Creek teams have always been there.
What happened the last month of this season that has now put you into a playoff contender?
Really, going in, the last couple games of the year, we made some changes on our offense, and it really improved our offense. We're a more solid team, and we can get a consistent run game going up front. We get a little bit more skilled guys in there, younger kids, but they're more athletic. And they've kind of stepped up throughout the year and really improved, and they've played. So as the year went on, we just kept on getting better, and that's what I kind of preach to the kids. We got to do every single week.
Jace, talk about the emotions of, obviously, your latest win. Anytime you knock off a number one seed, there's quite a bit of excitement. Talk about, from your perspective, what that was like.
It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's exciting. It gets you going. My on Arapaho, you kind of get hours to enjoy that win, and then you got to get focused on next week. We're not going to stop now. We got to really get focused on Arapaho so we can keep on moving.
We're talking with Jace Dooland here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Yeah, Arapaho, the only loss. We get that rematch on Tuesday, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But a couple of real nice performances last night. Zach Crowley has a big, big night for you. Talk about his performance last night and how that's been going for him throughout the year.
Yeah, and our goal was to kind of keep healthy and kind of had a little scare last night. He went down and wasn't too serious, came back in the game.
We're having problems with Jace, obviously, on his cell phone. Let's call. Let's try a landline. Would you, Jeffrey? Can't do that either.
No, he said he only has the cell phone.
We're having a little problem with the cell phone there. We apologize. Let's try him back one more time, Jeff, see if we can work on that a little bit. But 42-40 for Elm Creek yesterday, they came down to Burwell missing a 35-yard field goal with 11 seconds to go in the game that would have won the ball game. And you don't think about field goals too much, but Elm Creek knows the importance of a field goal. Just here a handful of years ago, they needed a late field goal to advance on in the playoffs. You just don't think of that in the 8-man game very much.
And the stress, 8-man or 11-man, of watching a field goal go up when you're the coach that's needing it to miss or make or whatever, just the emotions of that. Sounds like we might be having Jace come back here, but just the emotions of watching that field goal go up, it's never fun for any coach, obviously, with just the gray hairs that can come with it. And, I mean, we can ask him about that, Jace, I guess, now that we have you back here. Jace, talk about the emotions as you're watching that field goal go up. And, I mean, what's going through your mind there as the moments tick away and you're watching that ball float?
You really kind of just hope and you just kind of watch as it goes, and you hold your breath, and you really, there's nothing you can think about but him missing it. And as a ref waves, no good. It's just a big old relief off your shoulders.
Well, it had to be a fun bus ride home. We were talking about Zach there and his 5 touchdowns, and we had just lost you when we were talking about him getting dinged up a little bit. If you would continue that thought, Coach.
Yeah, and we kind of knew we had to keep him healthy, as I said, and we wanted to, now that we're in the playoffs, he's our horse on offense, and we kind of got to ride him until the very end. And really, he's the backbone of our offense, and he gets the bulk of the carries now.
Now that you have this win over Burwell, Coach, do you just have that feeling around your team that you can beat anybody out there, including a team that got you guys already this year?
Yes, we do. Our team's got the most confidence in the world right now. We really think we're one of the top teams in the state.
Talking with Jace Dooland, the head football coach of the Elm Creek Buffaloes. You go back to Arapaho. That's where the game was last time. What recap me a little bit of that football game. What worked well for you? What didn't work well? What you got to change for Tuesday night?
Are a really physical team, and we got to be really physical back with them. It was a back and forth game. It was a really emotional game, just like last night. And in the end, they got us on that one. And if we keep it close, I think it could go either way.
Well, Jace, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes out of your day to talk with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck in Tuesday night's game. And again, congratulations on the big win last night.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Chase Doolin, first-year coach over at Elm Creek, and anywhere you're a first-year coach, just got to get a little bit of success under your belt. And that's, there's a lot of success right here.
Yeah, I think Buffalo Country's gonna keep this guy around for a while since he's already knocked off a number one seed. He's in the third round now of the playoffs, a big time for Elm Creek football.
Yeah, they're 9-1. Nobody's talking about them. And I think this happened with Bertrand last night. Here's all I kept hearing leading up to the game that we broadcast last night was, we don't know how good Bertrand is. Nobody knows how good Bertrand is because they keep rolling over everybody. You look at Elm Creek's record, it's a little bit the same thing. They have one win in the regular season. That was against Overton, against a winning team. They lost to Arapahoe by 2 scores. Some of the early games were pretty close against 3 and 5 teams, and they didn't score 60 points a game, and they didn't shut people out. So it was hard to tell. I think maybe we're finding out that a few of these 3 and 5 teams at least were decent enough to challenge these teams, like a Bertrand, like a Arapahoe, like a Elm Creek.
And when you jump into this 8-man football realm, you have the problem of, if your team isn't Giltner scoring 90 and 80 points, if your team isn't Kennesaw or Bertrand scoring up in the 80s and the 70s almost week after week, you think maybe the offense just isn't there, and when they play one of those teams, they won't be able to compete. Obviously, Elm Creek proving everybody wrong right now. They played a top seed. They beat Burwell, and it just shows that you don't need the points. Sometimes there's a little defense played in 8-man football, and Elm Creek's getting the job done.
What do you think when you see a score like Giltner yesterday, 42-6? You look at that, and you go, oh, yeah, hell. But then if you're a team that's playing them, you go, hey, they only won 42-6. Maybe we can stay with them. Maybe we got a chance.
Depends on what the score after the first quarter was as well. Coach Ashby is known to be – he talked to me about the dilemma he faces, and it's a good one as a coach. I wish I had it every time if I was a coach, of not scoring too much. And right now he's got to battle that until he gets into these semifinal, quarterfinal rounds, and obviously a championship run might be in store for Giltner. We'll just have to wait and see. But Giltner's a team that you just got to try not to score too much.
Well, coming up, Gino Bucola of the TVG Network is going to join us, and as we do that, let's send you off to the next break with a little lunch idea from Cunningham's Journal. Every day for lunch, you can get a specialty burger, a domestic draft, only $6.49, but you don't have to get a burger, even though there's enough on there. You can get a different one every day of the week. How about pizza? Had that yesterday at the Husker lunch. Very good. Bacon wrapped shrimp. They saw the skewers out there. Barbecue, salads, whatever you want. They're there for you at Cunningham's. Got a great band coming in this weekend for Friday and Saturday out of Iowa. Bonnie Finken's going to be playing good party music to get November underway. And of course, come in and watch the Husker Michigan State game. And they've got extended happy hour Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Buckets, just $11. And they even put stuff in it. Yeah, ice, beers.
Some beers are in there.
Coolest in town. For entertainment, for sports, and a good meal, Cunningham's Journal in downtown Kearney. We'll be back with Gino Bucola of the TVG Network to talk Breeders' Cup, John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach, and Luke Hoover to chat about your fantasy football team after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. Meetings are essential to the way we work. It's an opportunity for different voices to be heard. Share ideas, problem solve, develop creative solutions. I love that. But if your team's spread out in different locations around America, coming together can be tough, almost impossible. Unless you use, and I have, GoToMeeting with HD Faces. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with clients and coworkers online. Doesn't matter where everybody's located. You're in Albany, I'm in San Diego. She's in Dallas. GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. Built-in HD video conferencing. You can see everybody face-to-face. Try GoToMeeting free now for 45 days. Don't wait. Special offer only on this show. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code ESPN. Be sure to use the promo code ESPN. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believe.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature in the mid-60s as winds out of the north to northeast develop around 5 to 10. Tonight, skies will remain mostly clear with a low near 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, CMA Awards tonight. Is that up your alley, Spencer?
Nope.
I'm learning more about you.
I do like my country music. Nothing wrong. I just don't like watching award shows and cheesy acceptance speeches and thanking mom and dad. I don't care.
The best part about award shows is, and as long as they don't get too carried away with it, is the live performances now.
That's true.
And you get some people together that you don't normally get these duos.
The collaborations.
You get to bring some people on. That's cool, but you can watch that kind of the next day.
Right. DVR it. Fast forward just to the concerts. Yeah. Don't need to watch the rest.
Just to the live stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any fast forwarding, though, when we get to the Breeders' Cup. Doug Dudo along with Spencer Schubert on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. And we welcome back to the program horse racing expert Gino Bucola, who is at Santa Anita. And he just got done running around the track twice. how's it look, Gino? Welcome back.
What's going on, guys? I'm doing great. And real quick, before we do Breeders' Cup, I got to vent. Being an L.A. fan and being a sports fan, I know you guys will probably sympathize. Lakers?
They're okay, Gino. They're okay, bro.
But in just 1 week, my Trojans, who were supposed to be undefeated, and the San Francisco Giants win the World Series. Mm. If you're a Dodger, Laker, Trojan fan, oh, it's been a bad week. It's been a bad week. I'm glad to be here.
And you hate the Clippers?
Oh, yeah, I'm not a Clipper guy either. I don't like the Angels. I'm a Dodger, Laker, Trojan, so I'm glad it's time to focus on some horse racing to get my mind off of these bad L.A. teams I'm dealing with right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Angels because the Kansas City Royals have done what they've done for the last 25 years. They pick up a guy that's hurt, and they give the Angels money for Irvin Santana. Yeah, he had a good final 2 months, they say. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That was a shock. That helped the Angels quite a bit, taking them off the load.
That's what we do. Right. Yeah, that's what we do in the Midwest. Gino, let's get right into it. We've got coverage of the Breeders' Cup both Friday and Saturday afternoon here on ESPN Radio. What is the story? We'll get to the Classic. We'll get to the ladies, the big races. Every race is big. But what is the overlying story as we go in to this year's Breeders' Cup?
Well, the story was this year is that it was very lucky that the Breeders' Cup was at Santa Anita. You know, to be honest, a lot of the East Coast folks were pretty upset because last year it was at Churchill Downs. 2 years prior to that and 3 years prior to that, it was actually at Santa Anita. So we're talking 3 out of the last 5 years the Breeders' Cup's been at Santa Anita. It was at Churchill the other times, and it hasn't been at Belmont in quite some time. Well, we all know what the weather is like with Hurricane Sandy. They would have had to cancel the Breeders' Cup had it be on the East Coast this year. There would have been no opportunity to run it. With all the weather, the travel, trying to get people to certain racetracks, the tracks were closed, the grass courses, I mean, it would have been an absolute, it would have been miserable even trying to think about it. So for all the, I hate to say it, for all the East Coast people who are squealing a little bit about the Breeders' Cup always being out here, when it's 75 degrees this morning at 9 o'clock and I'm taking off my jacket because it's already warm, I don't think we can complain about that.
Well, Gino, looking into the headlines coming into this one, obviously Game On Dude is the early 9-5 favorite for Saturday's 1.25-mile race. Talk about the story of Game On Dude. A lot of people might not know about this, but kind of a neat story for the comeback trail here.
Yeah, this horse is a Bob Baffert horse. And last year, in March of 2011, he was running the Santa Anita Handicap. He was a 30-1 long shot. He really had no shot in the race. And so he had a jockey named Chantal Sutherland on him, normally a jockey who wouldn't have been riding him. Well, she ends up winning the Santa Anita Handicap for Bob Baffert at 30-1. Chantal Sutherland, mind you, is gorgeous, one of the most beautiful women you'll ever see in your life. And so once she started to come to Southern California and really start to win on Game On Dude, her and this horse, they kind of skyrocketed to the top. She was second in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic. And what was interesting is that she was riding this horse all along and really getting along with him, yet the entire time Bob Baffert, his number one man, his number one jockey is Rafael Bejarano. So it was kind of an interesting situation where you have this great horse, this great trainer, yet they don't have their number one jockey on the horse. So we were all kind of waiting and waiting and waiting for Chantal to make a mistake. She just kept winning with this horse over and over and over up until the TVG Pacific Classic, and she kind of made a little bit of a mistimed move. He finished second that day, and they decided, you know what, we're going to make the change right now. We're going to put Bejarano aboard. Well, Chantal Sutherland since then has retired. She's out of the sport of horse racing now. Bejarano is riding Game On Dude. He rode him for the second time. He's won on him both times. This horse is an absolute freak. He absolutely loves Santa Anita's racetrack. He's 5-for-5, never lost at Santa Anita. The only chink in Game On Dude's armor is that the distance may be a little bit too far for him. 1.25 miles, maybe just out of his scope. He's won before at this trip, but if this was a 1.8 mile race at Santa Anita, Game On Dude's unbeatable. But the distance gives him that chink. That's where you may be able to beat him late.
Hmm. That's the beauty of Gino Bucola, handicapper. He leaves a little opening there so he can go find us, not necessarily a long shot, but some other horses. So since we're talking about the classic, it sounds like you like Game On Dude. Who else is going to be coming across that wire for Gino on Saturday?
Well, it's the horse that was named after you, my good friend, Mucho Macho Man. That's going to be the winner there. I've been a Mucho Macho Man fan since he was in the Kentucky Derby last year, and he finished a really good third in that race. And what's interesting is his trainer is Kathy Ridbo, and you don't see a whole lot of women in training. Actually, my girlfriend is a trainer out here in Southern California. She just got herself started in the last year. And what I've noticed with some of the lower barns is you get goods and bads with them, like always. They get such unbelievable attention. Since they only have 5, 6, 10 horses, they know everything that goes on with every one of their horses. It's unbelievable the kind of top-notch care they're able to give them. But on the same side, sometimes they baby them a little too much. They don't want to train them as hard because they're a little nervous. If you don't have 30 or 40 horses to work with, and you only have 5 or 6 and one of them gets hurt, you're kind of sitting in a bad spot. So Mucho Macho Man is a horse that has been handled very patiently by Kathy Ridbo. He's fresh. He has not run in 9 weeks, but he's going to be in the mix early on. He's done nothing wrong this year. He's run 5 times. He's got 3 wins, a second, and a third. I kind of have a sentimental rooting interest in him because I've liked him for so long, but I think Mucho Macho Man is kind of the other horse in there, and I'll throw in one kind of wise guy horse for you. This is a horse on the racetrack in the mornings that I'm hearing a lot of people talk about, and that's Pool Play. Pool Play is a stone-cold closer, won't be in it at all until they hit the top of the stretch and they turn for home. And then you'll see Pool Play starting to make that real late run and that big late kick. So those are the three horses I'm probably going to be using, Game On Dude, Mucho Macho, and Pool Play.
Well, Gino, as you look at these races, a lot of people, at least in central and western Nebraska, might not know a lot about horse racing. I mean, they have obviously what's out there in Grand Island, but Fawner Park. But talk about what this race means. Obviously, the Breeders' Cup, everybody knows about the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont. Talk about where this race particularly stands just in the horse racing world.
So what they've done now is they've actually expanded the Breeders' Cup to a 2-day event. It's Friday and Saturday. Just saying, I think it started out as 4 or 5 races and it expanded. Now there's 15 races on Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. And what it is, it's championship weekend. It's basically like an Olympic track meet. That's the championship for every event that you can think of. You have your long-distance horses. You have your short spring horses. You have your young horses, your two-year-olds. You have your two-year-old girls. You know, you have your older boys, and you have your older girls. Then you have the long-distance. You have the grass. So basically every category and every specific genre of horse, they're going to be facing off in the finals against each other this weekend. Every race is up for at least $500,000. And the big one, the Breeders' Cup Classic, goes for a $5 million purse. So this is where all the champions are really made. You're going to see horses that ran in all those big races early in the year, and they're fighting it out for the big, big title. What's cool is, you know, you'll see horses who ran in the Derby earlier in the year. You'll see horses who are going to run in the Derby next year. So a lot of eyes focus on the juvenile. That's always an interesting race because those are the two-year-olds, the ones that we're going to be watching in the Derby come next year.
Gina Bucola joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. As most average fans like I am, I like horse racing, but I don't study it every day. I look at this. You're used to seeing a lot of names of horses that you've seen throughout the last year or two. That's why the Classic has a lot of these Kentucky Derby horses from the last couple of years. Not as many in the field this year, but talk about some of the other races that, and you mentioned it, the Juvenile. Is that the next one that intrigues you, and what else is out there?
Yeah, the Juvenile's always the one, and in particular this year, just because I've heard a couple pretty good sources of information. Bob Baffert, who is the number one trainer in the world, he's won the Kentucky Derby three times. He's absolutely unbelievable. He can train horses to do anything. He can go long, go short, to win, having not run in a year, to win back in a week. You name it, he can do it. He has a very good, just like any team does, it's all about the staff. He's got the best gallop. He's got the best assistants. He's got the best hot walkers, the best grooms. They all know their horses. And we had a little Halloween party over the weekend at my house, and Bob Baffert's assistant was over there, and I was speaking with him. He said, Gino, you know, we have Game On Dude, who's the 9-5 favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He says, that's not the horse that we like the most. Let me tell you who our best chance to win is. That's going to be in the Juvenile. That is title contender. I said, really? They've got eight horses running throughout the 2 days, and he tells me, of all the horses they like title contender the most. So he says, go back and watch this horse's first race. I went back and watched. He had a little bit of trouble, and boy, did this horse improve from start one to start number two. And if any trainer knows how to get horses right for big days, for big wins, this horse is a nice, juicy 6-1 on the morning line. If we get around 4 or 5-1, I will take it. I think you go to the window and press repeat as many times as you can with title contender.
Gina Bucola, that sounds great. I would love to be able to do that on a sure winner. Let's talk about...
Real quick, you know what's funny? I always have a little angle, too. If there's a horse like title contender, just think about it. If you have a horse, if you own a horse, you're not going to name a horse title contender unless you kind of like the horse a little bit, right? I mean, you're not going to name a horse that's no good. This horse can run fast. So anytime I see a name like that that's kind of, you know, maybe they like this horse a little bit more, title contender seems like a good name for me, right?
Yeah, I mean, you never hear of a horse named Putz. I mean, you know, you never race a horse in a big-time race named Putz, so let's go with that. How about our friend who you helped us get on the Doug and Daddy Show last year, Doug O'Neill, coming back for the Breeders' Cup?
Oh, Doug O'Neill, he's going to be locked and loaded. I actually had a very good conversation yesterday morning with his brother, Dennis O'Neill. And Dennis O'Neill, he's kind of the eyes and the ears of the O'Neill operation as far as finding the young horses and bringing them in. Well, they've got a horse running in the Juvenile this year who could be a possible Kentucky Derby contender next year. That horse is named He's Had Enough, which is ironic because earlier this year we remember All Have Another. So All Have Another was their first one. Well, after all the fame they had, they came back and they named this one He's Had Enough, kind of a little play on the names. He had a ton of trouble last time out. He's 20-1 on the morning line. Same trainer, same jockey, same owner that won the Kentucky Derby this year. How is this horse 20-1? I don't know. And another horse to keep in mind from the Doug O'Neill barn is a horse named No More. That horse is going to be running in the Juvenile turf. No More won a graded stakes race, the first race of his career, which is unbelievable. When they were working this horse out in the morning, the jockey stepped off the horse and said, this horse will not lose his first time. And he didn't. He won, and he's never finished worse than third in his three starts. He's going to be very, very tough. And Doug O'Neill is going to be locked and loaded. He's also got a main contender in the Classic with Richard's kid, so could be another big day for the local Southern California boy.
How's the crowd out there? You talked about taking your jacket off. I'm sure the Grand Island boys are running around with their shirts off. How's things going crowd-wise out there?
Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable. The mornings have been just picturesque. We get out here about 7:30, 7, 8 o'clock, and from about 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, there's a couple hundred people out here snapping pictures. You see people take interviews. Everyone's sharing breakfast and looking at each other's racing forms, picking each other's brains. And what I've noticed, too, is last night when I got home from work, I went out to dinner down the street, and the local restaurants seemed to be really starting to feel it. They said, oh, man, we were really busy tonight, and it's going to be good the next couple nights. So that's what's fun when it's, you know, a big event of any kind. The NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, you know, they have Radio Row all week, and it's more so than the game, it's the event all week long. They've had, you know, cool fundraisers. They had one that they called Jock Tales the other day where the jockeys were making drinks, and a lot of the money that was raised went to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And last night they had a celebrity poker tournament. Since we're close to L.A., they've had a few things out at L.A. Live down in downtown L.A. So it's been really, really good. They've been doing a really good job. I got to give it up to the Breeders' Cup crew and my buddy Mark Verge, who's actually the CEO over at Santa Anita.
Well, Gino, one last question I want to ask. You brought up a couple of juveniles. If you were going to make the early prediction, who's winning the next Kentucky Derby?
Oh, wow.
That's a good question. I like that one right now. I would tell you there are two horses to look at, and they are two horses that I've already mentioned. They are title contender for Bob Baffert, and the other one would be No More for Doug O'Neill. Those are the two that I know. And more than anything, when you have a coach that's won it before, it's not ironic, or it's no weird reason why the same coaches get to the finals over and over and over again. The same good teams get there over and over again. They're well-coached, they're well-prepared, they're well-trained. And that's the case with the Bob Baffert and the Doug O'Neill trainees. I'm going to be on them all weekend in the Breeders' Cup. And Doug O'Neill, a good friend of mine, and Bob Baffert, just the best. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Gino Bucola, you have the knowledge of all. And let's wet the whistle a little bit tomorrow. The ladies go out there. We got the fillies. They all have won a ton of races. Royal Delta is a name I'm seeing on a lot of my sheets. What do you like tomorrow?
Well, the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic is going to be a fun race to watch. It might not be the best race to bet because there may not be a whole bunch of value. There's only a field of eight, but they all can win. They all have a shot. You actually have three former Breeders' Cup champions in that race alone. And two horses are undefeated, which is going to be really cool because something's got to give. You have My Miss Aurelia, who's never lost. She was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies champion last year. You have Awesome Feather, who's 10 for 10. She was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies champ 2 years ago. And then Royal Delta won this race, the Ladies Classic, last year. They almost put Royal Delta in against the boys. But since her trainer has two other horses in that race, they decided, you know what, we'll stay. That's going to be a very competitive race, but my best bet of the entire weekend is going to be tomorrow in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, and it's a horse named Spring Venture. Spring Venture is undefeated. She's 3 for 3, and if you have watched her races, you could not have one more visually impressive than she has. And what makes it even more key is that the races she's been winning, horses who have finished second, third, and fourth behind her, they're all coming back to win the next time they run. So it's really showing what a classy animal she is. That's my best bet on the day. She's 5 to 1. It's going to be my best bet all weekend. I'm going to go to the ATM and get a little bit out for Spring Venture, because that's going to be my play.
It is good times at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup this weekend. Gino Bucola, thanks as always. We always appreciate your insight. Good luck, and more importantly, have a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot, guys. Anytime you want. And when my Lakers start playing a little better, then you can have me on and we'll talk a little Kobe and Howard and Steve Nash.
No doubt, bro. No doubt. Hey, enjoy, and we will do so. Thanks so much.
Have a good night, guys.
Gina Bucola from Santa Anita, where the Breeders' Cup will be airing starting at 3 o'clock Friday here on ESPN at approximately 3 o'clock after the early college football game, Florida-Missouri, here on ESPN. We'll bring that to you as well. Doug and Daddy Show getting ready to talk to Luke Hoover with fantasy football. Get your questions in, emails, Facebook, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We talk fantasy football with Luke Hoover when we come back.
The Home Depot is the exclusive home to the new water-saving WaterSense Delta Foundation's bath faucet for just $39. Conserving water always makes sense. So does conserving money. Now you can do both beautifully and affordably thanks to the new water-saving WaterSense Delta Foundation's bath faucet. Only at the Home Depot and only $39. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Listen, your 5% cash back program is to die for. What's the new category?
You will love it. Right now, you can get 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December, only from Discover.
Shut the door. 5% cash back? I shop online all the time.
No joke. Everywhere online.
Best category ever.
Only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cash back on up to $1,500 in purchases online.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
On Friday, November 2nd and Saturday, November 3rd, the Breeders' Cup World Championships return to Santa Anita.
Drosselmeyer out of the clouds! Drosselmeyer from nowhere! And Drosselmeyer and Mike Smith have beaten Chantel Sutherland on Game On, dude!
Hear Eclipse award-winning coverage of every championship race live on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Friday and Saturday afternoon on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature in the mid-60s as winds out of the north to northeast develop around 5 to 10. Tonight, skies will remain mostly clear with a low near 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to vote on our poll question and pick up points for the Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club. Yesterday's poll question, who is Nebraska's toughest opponent remaining on the schedule? Who do you think, Spencer? You hate them all. You think we're going to lose them all.
Hey, easy.
Michigan State, Penn State, Minnesota, Iowa. Who's the toughest opponent remaining?
I'm going to go with Michigan State this week, I'd say, is the toughest.
Well, you went with the majority here, 63%. I chose Penn State yesterday, 25% say that, 13% said Iowa, and Minnesota didn't get a vote.
The only reason I didn't say Penn State is how Michigan State and Penn State both played against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Michigan State rightfully should have beat Ohio State and given them their first loss, so I'm going to go with the Sparties on this one.
You shush. Mm-hmm. Which upset from last night was most surprising? Hershey over Blue Hill, Donovan Trumbull over Crofton, Elm Creek over Burwell, Loup City over Hemingford, Bertrand over Kennesaw.
I don't even think Bertrand's an upset is. I mean, rightfully, they were undefeated compared to Kennesaw's one loss, but I'd say I liked Loup City, what they were able to do, a team that a lot of people didn't just have their eyes on, kind of like the Elm Creek story. A lot of people weren't looking at them, so I'd go Loup City there.
I'm going to vote Elm Creek because for some reason, I guess it didn't shock me as much. It shocked me how easily Loup City won the game.
Yeah.
But I did not see that coming from Elm Creek over Burwell. Hmm. And I picked Donovan to beat Crofton. I was shocked that Blue Hill got beat, but who knows? I guess Elm Creek, when I saw the scores, that surprised me the most, and congratulations. You can vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, send us your questions to the Dent Popper inbox for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. He is going to answer fantasy football questions here as we head into Week 9. Luke, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How's it going?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now let's refresh people's memories. How many fantasy leagues are you personally in?
Sometimes you lose count. I'd have to go back and double-check them all. It's a high number.
I'm getting to that point. Spencer is as well. We're into that point here where we're just swamped, and you don't get enough time to devote as you'd want if you're in more than one league to the waiver wire and to playing the right guys and making darn sure you're not starting somebody on a bye. And I'm sure over 17 weeks, everybody runs into that. Is there a tried and true? Is it better to just put in one lineup and leave it that way unless there's buys?
I'm a tinker. I like to, play strong matchups, and obviously you want to stick with some of your best players, so it can be good to, set those guys in and leave them in regardless of who they're playing. But you do run into buys, you run into unexpected injuries, you have to pay attention to the waiver wire. When you're juggling a lot of leagues, it can be a lot, like you guys say, but that's what we're doing it for. It's all about the love of it.
Luke, I was complaining about this to Doug during the break. One of the most frustrating players I own. We'll start with this question for you. Larry Fitzgerald. Right. He's driven me insane all season long. He's only had 2 weeks, I think, of double-digit performances in his entire fantasy season this year. Do you start him over Stevie Johnson?
Oh, this week in particular, I would absolutely do that. And I would probably most weeks. I mean, Johnson will have some nice matchups where it's hard to bench him. They've got New England coming up, I think, next week again. And, that's a good matchup for Johnson. But Fitzgerald's going into Green Bay. It's a game they're going to have to throw the ball to try to keep pace with the Packers. John Skelton, believe it or not, he threw it almost, around 50 times this last week. Huh. They were down the whole game against the 49ers. And Fitzgerald didn't get a lot of that, but you're talking about the 49ers defense. And Skelton did get to 290 yards against them. The Packers just let Blaine Gabbert have his first career 300-yard game. And if Blaine Gabbert can go into Green Bay and throw for 300 yards, I feel pretty good saying John Skelton could do the same. And, the Packers are without Charles Woodson right now. I like this matchup for both Fitzgerald and Andre Roberts, who's also gotten a lot of targets from Skelton the last 2 weeks. But I think passing-wise, they're going to put up some decent numbers this week.
Luke Hoover joins us here from RotoWire on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you've got a fantasy football question, Facebook us, email us. We'll get it on, just like Terrence does. He's got a flex question for you. It's a non-PPR league. Does he take Reggie Wayne or Darren McFadden?
McFadden's actually got a pretty tough matchup. Tampa Bay's been really tough against the run, and not so much versus the pass, so I could see the Raiders throwing the ball more. I like Reggie Wayne's matchup. Miami is really tough against the run, but they're giving up yards through the air, so I expect Andrew Luck to be throwing it a lot in that game. I would go with Reggie.
Josh from Kearney wants to know, does he drop Rashard Mendenhall and pick up Jonathan Stewart? That's part one of a two-part question. I'll let you answer that one.
I would certainly want to add Stewart. He looks like he's entering the opportunity to have the feature role there in Carolina. It looks like they're not going to trade D'Angelo Williams, but they're kind of demoting him and giving Stewart an opportunity to prove himself. I like Stewart over Mendenhall going forward the rest of the year, especially with the way John Dwyer's playing for Pittsburgh. Even if Mendenhall gets back, he'll be stealing carries.
He also wants to know a receiver question here for you. Calvin Johnson, kind of the same Larry Fitzgerald-esque type of question. Is Calvin a guy that he should think about moving?
You'd be selling him maybe too low at this point. I would try to at least see if he can have one big game. I think he could this week, and I'm actually projecting him to get in the end zone for the first time in a while. Jacksonville's pass defense isn't particularly strong. They gave the Packers a tough time last week, but that was because they were without Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings. Matt Stafford looked really impressive for the first time all year going against a tough Seattle defense. So I expect him to have a nice week, and I'd play Johnson this week. If he has a nice game, maybe you consider shopping him because it seems like he is struggling a bit with the knee injury.
talking with Luke Hoover. He is with us here every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show to answer your fantasy football questions. Let's go to Jack in Overton. He wants to know which wide receiver you set. One of these four: Miles Austin, Calvin Johnson, Mike Wallace, Eric Decker.
Ooh, that's a really close one, but I would probably lean towards sitting Austin. They're going into Atlanta. Atlanta has a top 10 pass defense. They give up, only giving up 7 passing touchdowns the entire season. You know, it's just won a game, and Romo really hasn't been playing particularly well. Austin's coming off a nice week, but I would sit him over those other options.
Running back question for you. Darren McFadden, a guy that's been dinged up, hasn't done a lot for Oakland over the last couple weeks. Would you even hesitate on starting him? Hesitate on starting him over Ryan Matthews or AP? I know the AP question, but Ryan Matthews, do you take McFadden over him?
No, I definitely would not start McFadden over Matthews this week. Matthews has a really nice matchup. The Chiefs have been giving up a lot of yards to running backs, and he has a good opportunity. You know, the Kansas City is coming off the bye week, but they're going into San Diego. I don't like those chances, so I'd play Matthews.
Nate in Minden says Cam Newton or Alex Smith.
Cam Newton. Alex Smith is on his bye. I misspoke before. The Chiefs were not coming off their bye. They did play last week. But Cam Newton has a great matchup with Washington this week. This could be his biggest week of the season.
Roddy White, a receiver that's kind of not made too much hay over the last couple weeks. Julio Jones, a big week for the Falcons offense. Is Roddy White a guy you start over most? What's your feeling on him?
You know, he's one of those guys you really can't bench. He's been a bit hit or miss this season because actually him and Jones have flip-flopped just about every other week. One of them's going off and the other is kind of having just an average game at best. But I like White this week. Dallas has a really strong secondary. But, you know, with that said, he's still Matt Ryan's primary go-to guy. He's a guy you can trust completely. And, against a tougher secondary, I see him targeting White a lot.
A couple of questions left here for Luke Hoover of a RotoWire. And here is from John. He says, I need to start two of these three. Alfred Morris. Well, that can't be right, is it? Am I reading that right? Doug Martin, that says Brian Westbrook, right? Is he trying to slide one by on me? that can't be who he means. So I just tried to get right after that. Sorry. Let's go to St. Louis. Maybe somebody slid one by on me. St. Louis is in a bye week this week, but next week when they return, will Danny Amendola be back? Will he be a number one option?
They, from what I've read so far this week, it sounds like Amendola should be able to return next week. I wouldn't call him a number one option, though. Even when he's 100% healthy, he's at best a number two. I mean, he's been the most targeted receiver in that offense, but Brandon Gibson and Chris Givens have both stepped up a little bit while he's been out, so they're going to continue to see some targets, and they may work him back slowly even if he does come back next week.
Luke, we don't talk about defenses a whole lot. I'd say it's safe to say San Francisco's defense might be the best defense in the NFL, but in terms of fantasy, who would you say is the defense you always need to have?
I know.
You want to answer that question then?
Well, it's got to be the
jump in. That's fine.
It's got to be the Bears, right now, doesn't it, Luke? It's got to be the Bears.
The way they're scoring touchdowns is uncanny. So, yeah, right now they are number one. But I think the rest of the way, that's completely hit or miss. I mean, the touchdowns are totally unpredictable. I don't expect them to keep that amazing, streak going. I think the Texans are the number one fantasy defense going forward. They have some really nice matchups. They have a slew of pass rushers led by J.J. Watt. You know, they create turnovers, and they keep the score down. So I like the Texans the most.
That's why he's the expert. Kelly and Carney says, Heath Miller or Antonio Gates?
I prefer Heath Miller a little bit. Gates, when they played the Chiefs the first time around, he had an okay game, right around 60 yards, but he was held out of the end zone. And Heath Miller's he's been getting a ton of red zone targets from Roethlisberger, and the Giants have actually been giving up a lot of points to tight ends this season, so I would go with Miller.
Antonio Gates or Owen Daniels? I guess you're going to go with Owen Daniels, huh?
Daniels has a better matchup. The Buffalo's you know, terrible just in general on defense, bad against the run and the pass. I think it could be one of those days where they pound Arian Foster and he just gashes Buffalo for a lot of yards. They burn him with a little bit of play action, which they've been going to Daniels a fair amount. He's one of Charlotte's favorite targets inside the 20. So I like Daniels to possibly get in the end zone. And like I said, I'm a little down on Gates right now.
Well, it seems like we're out of the specific ones. It's time to get to the weekly one. Yeah. The best guy out there, if you were going to start over anybody, who are your best plays at each position?
At quarterback, I'm going to go with the guy right now who's the hottest in the league, and I like Peyton Manning in Cincinnati. The Bengals defense in general has struggled. They're on a three-game losing streak coming out of their bye week, and Manning is just red hot. He's thrown for over 300 yards in five straight, at least three touchdowns in the last four. I think he's got a slightly better matchup than Drew Brees this week. Running back, we just mentioned him, Arian Foster. Buffalo's giving up 6 yards a carry. I think Foster could have a monster game this week and win a lot of fantasy weeks for his owners. Receiver, I'm going to take Peyton's number one and go with Demaryius Thomas. I think he's coming off a really big week. You know, his targets have been sort of up and down some weeks, but Cincinnati doesn't really have anyone who can cover him and match up with him physically. I like him to, you know, go over at least 100 yards, possibly get in the end zone again. And at tight end, as long as Gronk is out, Jimmy Graham's the next best. So I'd go with Jimmy Graham as the best tight end.
Well, we also follow that up with who's the stud that you usually don't even think about that you might want to set this week?
Well, he's gotten back into the category of, you know, one of those guys that's no-brainer starts after a bad start to the season. Chris Johnson has led the league in rushing the last 5 weeks. He's got 550 yards, you know, averaging over 100 yards a game in the last five. But he gets that Chicago Bears defense now. They're tops against the run, certainly right up there. I'd be a little leery of him. I don't know that you can bench him if you have him because he's capable of a good game, but this might be one of his, you know, down weeks going forward, one of his worst the rest of the season.
Not a lot of guys left out there on the waiver wires. Mike Thomas gets traded from Jacksonville, and now everybody's high on Cecil Shorts because of the one good week that they had last week. Givens gets some big-time receptions, although not a lot of them at St. Louis. Ryan Broyles, now that Burleson is out, may see some more touches from the Detroit Lions. You like any of those? Anybody else out there that we should mention?
I like Broyles. A couple names to keep your eyes on. He's probably not owned in a lot of leagues. But yeah, sooner or later, the Packers are probably going to have to figure out that Alex Green is not getting it done. He's averaging less than 2.5 yards a carry in the last 3 weeks, so I could see them starting to feed James Starks the ball a little bit more the healthier he gets. He had, I think, one carry last week, and he had 8 yards. Well, Alex Green had very few carries of at least 8 yards, so James Starks could start to earn some a bigger chunk of the Packers' backfield. Right now, while Ben Tate is hurt, particularly for this week, if you're really hurting, you're almost desperate for a starter, an option. I think that game's going to get out of hand against Buffalo, and Justin Forsett, will be the primary backup with Tate out and could get a good chunk of carries in the second half and maybe have some decent yardage in reserve of Foster.
You just about crushed me here. Well, I'm looking at
any bills.
No, I'm looking at this one league that's touchdown only, and you get to pick like 100 guys on this league, but you can't drop an ad. You can't drop an ad. Luke, here's who I've got. You got Steven Ridley and Woodhead that are on the bye, and I'm starting Sproles, and Cedric Benson is injured, and the other two guys, and then Ben Tate, you tell me, is going to be out, who I have. So that leaves Jason Snelling and no Sean Moreno, so I guess I got to play Snelling, huh? And just hope.
Yeah, at that point, well, he got one last week, so you never know.
Well, yeah, it'll only be about 9 more weeks. Luke, hey, we're over time, so we'll let you get going. We always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Not only when all your guys are on a bye, and then the guy you have left is injured.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah, it's the Duda curse. How are your teams doing, record-wise? How are you sitting?
7-1, leading one league. 4-4, took a tough loss last week because I had a lot of guys that were on bye. I mean, like half the team. And you go, well, I don't want to drop any of these guys. There's nobody to pick up. I need running backs. Mm-hmm. And I actually scored okay. I would have beat half the league. But Panther Dome just way too many points after he had the same problem the week before.
I love those.
You?
4-4 in all three leagues.
I'm 4-4 in that league I lost last week. So 7-1, 4-4.
I'm 4-4 in all three of my leagues. 500. I'm just middle of the road.
5-3 yeah. in the other league. I'd have been in third right now. It's pretty packed in the middle.
Nice.
Hey, it's always packed with great deals at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Don't forget, you can find out more about how to register and get in on their Husker Penn State ticket giveaway. They'll be drawing that out on Tuesday. Go to thinkmidway.com or stop by the dealership today, where they're moving out the 2012s, moving in the 2013s. Equinoxes, Chevy Silverados, Chevy Cruises, Chrysler 200s. They have got a bunch of the Silverados, as we said, and 2012 Rams left on the lot. They're moving them every day, so don't miss out at the Midway Auto Dealerships and thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We caught up with Coach Cook this morning before the show. In full disclosure, I can't believe that we've already went over the way over. So I think we're going to push Coach Cook back to tomorrow. We also have some Michigan State insight on the program tomorrow. We'll talk with one of their radio guys on the show tomorrow. Plus, Pigskin Pick'em, $180 up for grabs.
Haven't lost.
Haven't lost. Have not been defeated.
Somebody take their money. Please, somebody needs to.
I am shocked. We're going to have some other special guests as well.
I'm calling in tomorrow.
Chance to get registered for the 70-inch HD TV, the Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. You get in, you win the Big Daly's Deli combo meal, and if you can beat us, $180 in gift cards to Cunningham's. What a deal.
Yeah, $180.
I'm feeling better about it. Hey, we want to thank all the folks that joined us on the show today. Woo! It's just a busy, busy day.
Volleyball tonight.
Yeah, I do have volleyball tonight. B&D districts. I'll be at Centura for Axtell and Cedar Valley. Good luck to all the teams out there tonight.
That'll be fun.
Is your smiling face on, or you got another day on?
Oh, I'm smiling today. I'll be out there with a camera. Spencer Lord knows Schubert. Where. I'll find out later.
NTV, Spencer Schubert. Check it out. Folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.